The Battle of Bull Run was the first official battle of the Civil War. Before the battle, there were very high tensions between the North, who were the Union Army, and the South, who were the Confederate Army. The North and the South disagreed on laws and politics. While most people may think that slavery was the only cause of the Civil War, it was actually more complicated than that. While slavery was a cause, a much bigger cause was the governmental power, or who had the most influence or representation in the country's choices. At the time, there were two types of states, free states and slave states. Free states allowed African Americans, who were once slaves in the North, to be free and live their lives like everyone else. But if they were slaves from the South, bounty hunters that traveled north from slave states were sent to apprehend escaped slaves. The North and South would continue to go back and forth, passing laws and making compromises to keep peace. Usually the North would pass a law that they liked and it would last some time, then the South would get upset and would try to get the law taken out. They would not follow it, or they would... And before real aggression began, representatives from the North and South would hold a meeting, and a compromise was made. These compromises did not last long, though. Both sides wanted it to be their way or no way. That's when the presidential election of 1860 happened. This would determine whether the North or South would get their way. Abraham Lincoln represented the North or the Republican Party. John Breckinridge represented the South and the Southern Democrats. Stephen Douglas represented the Democrats, and John Bell represented the Constitutional Union. When the election took place, it was mainly Abraham Lincoln and the Free States against John Breckinridge and the Slave States. The Democratic Party was already at many disadvantages since there were more Free States than Slave States, and the party split into two. When Lincoln won the election with 180 electoral votes, tensions peaked with the South. Carolina was the first state to succeed, with many other states following in their footsteps. This would eventually lead to troops being sent from both sides to Prince William County on July 22, 1861.
So, Zach, how many states did President Lincoln win in the election, or from the overall win?
Well, Owen, President Lincoln represented the free states, which were all the North states, you know, were above South Carolina. Now, he won the election with 180 electoral votes and had 18 states that followed him. Even some states in the South didn't even put Lincoln as a choice for the election ballot, which was crazy because he still won by so much compared to his rivals.
Now, Zach, how close were the other three candidates to actually winning the election?
So, the other competitors, Breckinridge, John Bell, and Stephen Douglas, all were pretty far away from Lincoln. Breckinridge had 72 electoral votes, with 11 states, though, following him. John Bell had 39 electoral votes and only had 3 states following him. And Stephen Douglas had 12 electoral votes with 1 state following him. Now keep in mind, Breckinridge was with the Southern Democrats, John Bell was with the Constitutional Union, and Stephen Douglas was with the Democrats.
It's very interesting, Zach. Well, the actual battles began on July 21st, 1861. Which is when the United States Civil War officially began, as in, like, the fighting. 35,000 Union troops marched from the federal capital of Washington, D.C. to strike the Confederate force of about 20,000 along a small river known as Bull Run. The general leading the Union Army was McDonwell, who was recently promoted to lead the army by President Lincoln. The Union forces struck first, shelling the enemy across the river, while more troops crossed the river at Sully Fort in an attempt to hit the Confederate left flank. For over 2 hours, 10,000 Federals gradually pushed back 4,500 rebels across the Warrington Turnpike and up Henry Hill House. Reporters, congressmen, and other onlookers had traveled from Washington to watch the battle, at a nearby countryside. They were having picnics and enjoying their time. They were already celebrating Union victory, but reinforcements from both Johnston, a U.S. Army officer during the Mexican-American War until he succeeded in joining the Confederates, and Beauregard, a Confederate officer later promoted to general, both the armies soon arrived on the battlefield to rally the Confederate troops. In the early afternoon, both sides traded attacks and counterattacks near Henry Hill, but Stonewall Jackson, a commander of the Confederate Army, was able to rally the troops and hold a strong defensive line. On Johnston and Brunide's orders, more and more Confederate reinforcements arrived, even as the Federalists struggled with coordinating assaults made by different regiments. Eventually, the rebel forces under Johnston and Beauregard were able to throw the Union forces into a full retreat back to Washington.
Now, Owen, can you tell me a little bit about Stonewall Jackson and, you know, his effect on the war and his side of the war? You know, his effect on the Confederates, the effect on the Union, you know, just tell me a little bit about Stonewall Jackson.
That's a good question, Alex. Well, Stonewall Jackson got his name from looking like a stone wall in the face of the Union forces, who were clearly more overwhelming than the Confederate troops had. He was very motivational and was able to rally the Confederate troops to fight against the Union, even though they were outnumbered. He continued to do this throughout the war and was a major general.
Okay, so how did the Union forces lose, even though they clearly outnumbered the Confederate forces greatly in this battle?
That's a good question, Zach. Well, as the Union clearly did have more troops, and better strategies, actually, their troops were very untrained and not prepared for warfare. The South also had generals that had experienced war in the Mexican-American War. So, for example, when Stonewall Jackson fought in the Mexican-American War, he gained experience from that war, which gave him the experience that he used in the Battle of Bull Run, which helped him compose himself, keep his troops composed, and overall set up a very well-mounted defense. And also, the Confederates were able to hold off the Union long enough to gain reinforcements, eventually having the Confederates outnumber the Union, which sent the Union into a full-on retreat because they weren't experienced enough to use battle formations to counteract the reinforcements from the Confederates. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much, Owen, for talking about that. I just wanted to discuss some brief details on the ending and the results of the Battle of the Bull Run. I just want to say the first Battle of Bull Run resulted in a Confederate victory, of course, in 1861. There was a total of 60,000 forces engaged in this battle, and I just thought that was pretty insane, and it was crazy. Now I'm going to discuss the turning point in the battle when the Confederate reinforcements broke the Union right flank. Jackson held his ground on Henry Hill like a stone wall, how he got his nickname. Under the counterattack with no reinforcements, the Federalists retreated, and when pressed hard by the Confederates, rapidly deteriorated into a complete rout. The next day, the shattered Union Army reached the safety of Washington, and the first battle of the war was over. There were more than a little under 4,900 total casualties in this battle, about 460 Union deaths and 387 Confederate deaths. But 2,800 Union troops were either killed, murdered, or captured, or went missing. Over 1,000 Union soldiers were taken by the Confederate side. These casualties acted as a wake-up call for both sides during the war. McDowell, who was blamed for the defeat, was replaced by Major General George B. McClellan as a Union Army leader. The Shenandoah and the Potomac armies were combined into one, under command of General Robert E. Lee. He renamed the force the Army of Northern Virginia. The Confederate sign quickly adopted Southern Cross sign as their new battle flag. But after the war, I still have a few questions based on solely the Union side and the Confederate side. What I'm wondering about the Union side was, how discombobulated were they after this battle? I'm just wondering to myself, was it a huge blow? Was it a minor setback? So on and so forth. What I do know from this
Confederate victory is that it was a huge advantage. It really put the Confederate side in a big spot, in a powerful spot, forcing the Union troops to retreat to Washington.
That's good, Alex, but I was wondering, based on your response, how did Lincoln react to this defeat? Because I knew this was a crushing blow for the Union, so I was wondering how Lincoln would react. Like, what did he do?
Now, Lincoln did. Thank you, Owen, for this question. This actually is a major point that should be discussed, but I do know a bit about Lincoln and how he responded to this. On Monday the 15th, President Lincoln, quoting from almost exactly the language of the Militia Act passed during the administration of George Washington during the Whiskey Rebellion of 1795, called upon the state militias to provide 75,000 men for federal service. Some of his cabinet encouraged him to summon more, perhaps as many as 200,000, but the president, gasping that he did not yet have in place an organization to arm and provision even 75,000 men, seemed content for the moment to merely quadruple the size of the nation's army. Each state was given a proportionate quota to meet. 17 regiments, 13,000 men from New York, 16 regiments from Pennsylvania, 12,500 men, and so on.
So, Alex, did this Confederate victory lead to more Confederate victories throughout the Civil War?
In a short answer, yes, Zach, it did. However, when the Union did retreat after the Battle of Bull Run, the Confederate army was not in a place where they could just run up on the Union soldiers, so they did wait a while, but for example, when the Confederates drove the Union soldiers out of Southern territories, they did have victories there. However, they suffered losses when they started invading Northern territory. The Union solely crushed the Confederates. For example, the Battle of Gettysburg.